It's time for the Kick Around, the Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is the Ticket. We're just kicking it around. Now, here's our two soccer nerds, Andy Swift and Peter Welpton.
Hi-de-ho, P1s, and welcome to today's Kick Around. Saturdays 2 to 4 here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Tickets, where you, the good, awesome P1, sits around, talks them some soccer and all that implies. Don't forget, you can find us on our website as well, thekickaround.com. Hi, how are you? It's me, Peter, and also in this broadcasting temple known as The Ticket Studio, noted soccer expert and World Cup trivia master, Andy Dalton Swift.
Peter, man, that goal call, blast from the past, does it make you long for World Cup now?
It does. It makes me miss the great Ronaldinho.
Yeah. You know, watching that documentary, which we will talk about, I'm sure you'll promote it, I watch that and I just want to go out with a ball out at whatever field and just start practicing moves.
Yeah. So in the show today, we are going to review Ronaldinho, Happiest Man on Earth, which is a documentary that has been airing for free on the new FIFA Plus platform. FIFA launched their own streaming platform two or three months ago?
Yeah, and this was their debut, like, feature.
Yeah, and it's still free, so you can watch it on your browser, or you can download the app on, you know, pretty much any device and watch it, and we'll talk about it. It's really good, and for guys like us that are, you know,
we're nerds,
and we're, you know, in our, how old, we were probably in our 30s back in the day when Ronaldinho was coming to fame. Those were some of the best times ever that best times, at least for me, in watching the sport.
Yeah, for the young ones, before Ronaldo and Messi, I mean, those are the two of our time now, current generation. The player right before them that was the great player in the world was Ronaldinho. Now, his tenure as that with that title lasted a lot shorter. But, I mean, and we'll talk about why when we review the documentary. But he was it, you know, for a good five-year period.
Yeah, and there's a reason why the documentary is titled Happiest Man on Earth. And we'll, like I said, and Andy said, we'll talk about that. We'll do a bunch of other stuff, including Buzz Carrick from ThirdDegree.net. We'll visit with us to discuss the big Texas Derby match that is happening this evening down in Austin. Dallas is traveling to Austin to see if they can put up a fight against the second-year club that is having a very nice season in Austin FC. And we will also, as I said, review the Ronaldinho stuff. And we will spin... Oh, he's not in there. The Supreme Wheel of Allegiance. My board op, who has all of the funny sound effects and drops, is not sitting there. So we will do that. So P1s, if you have decided that you just want to cut to the chase and get yourself a club from one of six different leagues and or tournaments.
Yeah, you've expanded, right?
The wheels are now available for the Premier League, the Bundesliga, Serie A, La Liga.
That's new.
MLS.
New.
And for those of you Italians out there, World Cup, or Chileans, the World Cup will help you find if you just don't want to root for the United States for whatever reason. So, we'll do that here before the end of the show, and if you'd like to participate, you can call the number and sign up, or you can direct message us on Twitter, or do something. Find a way to contact us, and we'll get you lined up before the end of the show. But first... I think we need to dive into the subject that I think most people really get into this time of year, because it's really the only thing to talk about, which is the transfer window, or just transfers in general, because the window's not officially open yet, not till the beginning of July.
Yep. It's all talk now.
It is.
Except for if you're in free transfer.
Right. Then so, you can if you're out of contract, free transfer,
loans,
you can do that.
Loans also can be announced.
This is all very true.
Yeah.
So back in the day, the transfer window or the talk of transfers was always one of my favorite things. And if you're relatively new to the sport, it's easy to get sucked into the vortex of all of the rumors, the daily changes in the stories or the headlines of who may be going where. I mean, even today mm-hmm. is a great example. The Athletic in the last 2 hours has dropped a story that apparently Todd Boehly, the new owner of Chelsea,
yeah, which we'll talk about,
has met with somebody's agent, and now maybe that guy maybe might be going to play for Chelsea.
And you're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, it's the silliest thing.
Yeah,
so,
well, yeah, and those all these rumors, 90% of them, you know where they start? 98% of them start with agents, right? I mean, agents wanting to spike some interest in whatever players they're representing.
Is because Andy, you are a baseball hardcore nerd too.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, the way that players move from team to team in American sports is different because of the ownership piece of that that soccer has, right? Like, players are very rarely traded in soccer.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Players are mostly bought.
Yeah.
In soccer, or signed if they're then they're owners of their own pass, as you call it. Then they're just signed. Those would be like free agents. But there, it's rare when players are traded from one team, like for a Premier League team trading with a Serie A team. And in fact, the new Chelsea owner, we'll talk about it now, the owner himself, by the way, which is kind of different. You know, we're not used to owners in the Premier League.
Because he's also the owner of the Dodgers.
The Dodgers, right. We're not used to the owners in the Premier League stepping up and actually handling negotiations, which he's doing now. Granted, he doesn't have a person yet hired to do that, so he's taken it upon himself to handle those. And much like he's used to in baseball, and he has to move a certain player, which is Lukaku, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they want to move to Italy. And I think it's Inter, right, that we're talking about? Am I right?
Yeah, no. Yes. Yeah, Lukaku's being loaned to Inter. Right.
So in the initial talks with Inter, he offered a trade, like to trade him. And he's like, you know, we would trade him for this player, that player, or this player. And Inter's like, no, we don't want to do it that way. He ended up, I think he's going to get loaned.
I was thinking about this. I was mowing the yard this morning. Mm, and I was actually thinking about that because, you know, Todd Boehly being a baseball guy and introducing or reintroducing the concept of trading players in European soccer, I think there's an interesting concept to that. But I'm not sure that the Lukaku situation is the best application of it because the players that he was thinking of trading in return for, the value versus what the Inter knew they could get Lukaku for was out of whack.
Right. So there are so many more variables that you have to add to the equation when you're trading or comparing two possible trade candidates. When you're trading interleague in Europe,
yes,
than if you are trading intra-league, like within Major League Baseball.
Okay, so here's my question to you, and this is where I got stuck because I don't know the answer to this, which is if financial fair play or any of the rules around payments or the amount of money you can spend have an ability to sidestep them, is it in the trading of players? So, for example, if United, let's say Paul Pogba's still under contract at United, and he clearly wants to go to Juventus. And Juventus and United decided they wanted to trade players, like De Ligt. Maybe United would trade Pogba for De Ligt.
Yeah.
Would that go against any of those fair play rules?
Right. So
or is that a trick that maybe they have a clause written against?
The way it should work with the current rules are like the salaries that those players incur would be applied to each of the teams they play for. But then they each have different value. So there's going to be a net difference in value. Yeah, because if you trade like Ronaldo.
Okay, but here's the problem with that. How do you, what is the official record of value, right? So it's like if I wanted to trade my house for your house, your house is worth a lot more than my house. The value of that is how would we determine that for the purposes of taxes kind of thing? Does that make sense?
Yes, and they're going through that same issue, and Daniel talked a little bit about it. Daniel Robertson, our Serie A correspondent, when we had him on a few months ago, about how some Italian teams are, I guess their own government is squeezing them about how much taxes they actually owe because of how they valued their transfers.
Ah, okay.
And they were undervaluing.
Undervalued. Yeah. I'm sure there's a way to do it, but that was just what I was thinking in my head as Boley is introducing this. Like, I can just see an American owner of Chelsea walking into a bunch of Italians and going, hey, how about you just give us that guy for this guy? And they're looking at him like, who are you? What are you doing?
Yeah. Basically, this is how they reacted.
And I will also share with you that if you, not that Twitter's a real space or social media is a real space, but watching Chelsea fans react to the news that their new owner was actually trying to pull that off was pretty hilarious. Because again,
so I didn't see that.
Because remember, this is a group of people that for the last 20 years have enjoyed the fruits of Roman Abramovich.
Yeah, bottomless pit of money.
And this is going to change.
Yeah, right.
And now this guy is an American, and they're like, oh, no.
Yeah, now it's going to change. I think it's going to... I was a little bit skeptical about if they could keep up the spend. They're not going to spend like the prior owner spent. But first, it's really interesting that the new owner is so active in negotiations. And again, that might be a byproduct of him not hiring somebody yet to take that role. But he's publicly said, look, the model that we want to follow, we want to be what Liverpool is in terms of how they handle asset management, player asset management, how they buy players, when they buy players, using analytics, how they sell. And, you know, Liverpool has a net positive in terms of how they've come out with purchases and sale of players over the last 10 years, right? Ever since they got bought. And I think that Chelsea wants to do that because they can see that it can work. You can be smart with your money. Now, you know what that means. You know who benefits from this is Tuchel, because Tuchel will have a more hands-on role. He will have more say now in player acquisition with player acquisition decisions, just like Klopp does. And there's a reason for that, because you want more efficiency between how your money is spent and what the coach wants. And it's shocking how many teams spend so much money in the executive suite department with so little input being taken from what the coaches actually want. I mean, it would shock you how divergent those two are with a lot of these big clubs, which seems crazy to me. But you have management with one agenda and you have coaches that want something else, and then they have to make it work with what they get.
Chelsea will be a fun story to follow this season, and with the changes, you know, they're trying to buy Sterling from City, for example. That's somebody Tuchel wants, and Ziyech is apparently on board to be sold himself, and we don't know what the Christian Pulisic story has evolved into to this part. Now that they apparently have cleared the Lukaku situation, you know, it kind of opens up some other spaces. But we'll kind of run through all the different Premier League teams and any major moves here. In a little bit. When we come back, we will take a break, but when we come back, we'll dive into some more of the specific big transfers that have already happened or appear to be on the brink of happening, including one from with Arsenal that I'm really interested in figuring out if it's going to work, and we'll talk about that next here on the Kick Around. If you would like to participate in spinning the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance for one of a few different leagues later in the show, shoot us a note on Twitter at the Kick Around. Give us a call here at the station, 888-787-1310, or send us a letter by mail, one of the two.
Have you spun, or do you need to spin for La Liga? You don't have a La Liga team, my friend. You don't want one, I see. Okay. All right. That's kind of a negative reaction.
No, it just seems like such a lot of pressure all of a sudden.
You're asking the P1s to do it, but you won't step up to the plate and do it yourself?
Yes, Andy, of course. I'll spin the wheel for La Liga. Absolutely. Welcome back to the Kick Around. Saturdays 2 to 4 here on the tickets. We're talking transfer window in ye olde soccer, because we are approaching the beginning of it for most leagues, and players under contract will start in July, but we're starting to hear news. I'm sure most everybody, if you're into the game, has heard the big news of the day, which made me laugh.
What?
Gareth Bale, who's out of contract. Remember, his deal with Real Madrid ends here soon.
Yeah.
And with Wales making the World Cup, he needed a place to play, because he was going to retire if they hadn't made the World Cup.
What group are they in?
They're in the American group of A.
Yes, they are.
Yes. So there had been a lot of really cool, almost romantic rumors that he would go play in the championship with Cardiff City, which is a cool place. Actually, one of the stadiums I went to on my tour.
Wales is nice.
Wales stadium. Is great, and that's where he's from, blah, blah, blah. No, and then there were a couple of Spanish teams in La Liga looking to Getafe, I think, was one of them.
But he wanted, like, a real brand, world-renowned
He needed
team.
As many golf courses as he could get, and he found that in Los Angeles, California. Word is he's going to sign a deal with LAFC.
In MLS.
In Major League Soccer.
So he... Is this strategic in a way? You know, the U.S. is in their group, so he's going to come spy for his national team.
No, I don't take Gareth
see what
as
those
a
Americans are up to.
Schemer in that way. No,
he needs minutes. I mean, it all comes down to playing time.
Yeah.
Before the World Cup. It does. He needs minutes.
Yeah. Them signing, you know, I think they're getting Carlos Vela back on a DP deal, but Gareth, you know, here's the thing. LAFC... Getting Vela to re-sign on a DP, which is Major League Soccer's loophole for signing big money deals, but they also just signed, as we said, Gareth Bale, but Chiellini, the Italian center back, is going to go play for them now, and both him and Bale are on these non-DP deals for smaller amounts of money.
I just want to keep playing, man.
And that's pretty amazing. Look, Gareth Bale is... No matter what his age is and everything, it's not that I don't think he can play or is good enough to play. He's certainly good enough to play in Major League Soccer. I just question whether or not he's really going to have the club's best interest in mind. But if you're LAFC and you want to do that, then more power to
you. And your point is that he has the World Cup in front of him. You know, how stuck in is he going to want to get?
Well, he's not particularly famous for that in the way that he would kind of come and go or choose to play or not with Madrid. And
he's had injury issues, throughout the latter part of his career. Now, also to note, LAFC is in first place, which is weird, right?
Yeah.
If they're signing these guys, they're already doing all right. So anyway.
So there's been a lot of activity already in deals that are pre-done. The biggest deal, I guess the biggest deal, at least in terms of money, was Madrid's purchase of Tchouaméni, the midfielder from Monaco, the French midfielder.
Or
so,
Mane going to Bayern.
Well, just in terms of pure dollars. Tchouaméni was like close to 90 million pounds, and that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Liverpool's purchase of Darwin Nunez is the biggest dollar deal, and it's about 65 million pounds.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. I mean, that's a guy that United wanted.
Yeah, no, he's legit, and Liverpool's followed him for as many clubs did for many, many years. Really quick with Liverpool, should I worry? I'm going to ask you as, you're a neutral in this. Liverpool's lost Mane, which I would rather lose Salah than Mane, actually. That was always my thing. But, okay. Minamino has been sold.
Right. Is he going to Monaco?
Yes.
Is that where he's going? Okay.
Yeah. Origi's going to Serie A.
Right.
And now Salah, they may not sign Salah.
Yeah, I saw that story today.
So, should I start to worry about, that? We got Nunez, Firmino's still there, Diaz, and Jota. So, those are really four really good forwards, but I'm so used to Liverpool just having like two or three lines up front that they could just rotate.
Well, here's where I think that becomes problematic, which is if you're trying to keep up with the Joneses in Man City, Haaland signing is an interesting deal, but they're also apparently going to, they may sell off Sterling.
Yeah.
Sterling may go to Chelsea.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a huge loss. Yeah.
We don't really know yet how the Haaland situation is going to work out there.
Yeah.
So it may be more like a Jack Grealish kind of debut season.
Right.
But so the news the other day that they may buy Calvin Phillips from Leeds.
Yes. That's good for them. This guy's a very good player.
Look, as a United fan, that's crushing. Phillips is exactly the kind of player that Ten Hag could use.
Demon.
But I understood why a Leeds player like that would, especially somebody from Leeds who is as Leeds through and through as he could be, wouldn't want to go play at United. But then to have him turn around and sign a deal to go to City across the street, this is a really, really weird time to be a United fan.
Yeah, but United, they have their eyes on Frankie de Jong, right? I mean, that's who they want, who's not really... what has he played with Barcelona? More of an eight?
Kind of a box.
Right. Mm-hmm. So doesn't really fit that. Interesting, too, the other tentacle that comes out of this this deal with Phillips going to Man City is that at Leeds, that might open the door for Tyler Adams to come now to the Premier League. to play that position.
Because he would like to get out. I think there's lots of word that he'd like to leave Leipzig because he's just not getting as much time.
And the connection with Marsh, there's a pre-existing connection there. So we might see Tyler Adams playing Premier League. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, yeah, I would like that.
Yeah.
The one story that continues to fascinate me is Arteta and Arsenal. Because they have quietly, or not so quietly, made some moves this year that's interesting. So Fabio Vieira, the midfielder from Porto for 30 million euros, is a nice, interesting signing. Mm-hmm. The Matt Turner thing is just interesting only because he's an American. Right, yeah. Marquinhos, the young forward, the teenage forward, not bad. Brazilian
That could hit or may not hit. Who knows?
But then the really big rumor that has started to, not rumor, but the reports are, is that Arsenal is in negotiations to sign.
You said that like a British dude. Negotiations.
I've watched so much Sky Sports lately. Not Guy Sports, Sky Sports.
Both.
Is to sign Jesus from City.
Yeah, Gabriel Jesus.
And and you start thinking about all these little pieces. I mean, Arsenal was already kind of an interesting, young, dynamic team that just needed to figure some things out. Mm-hmm. But then you start thinking about some of these new pieces that they're talking about adding or already have, like the Fabio Vieira guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know a ton about him, but everything I've read and the little bit that I've seen is he's quite a player. It does make you wonder if Arsenal's ready to make that next step
because of their interest in Gabriel Jesus.
Yes, and then you start to think about Chelsea's situation, because Chelsea may be in some sort of weird transition year because of the new owner and the way that he may or may not spend money, and Tuchel's trying to rebuild that roster in his image.
Does Arsenal see a window here to
kind of jump to third?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, United's certainly not going to be as competitive. I don't, you know, because they're also in a transition.
Yeah, and we'll talk about United. But maybe. I mean, it's he's 25, Jesus, right? 25. He's going to cost 45 to 50 mil.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And does he fit with, I mean, it all comes down to this. Are they getting him to play the nine or not? Because I don't know if he's really like the true nine that they might be looking for.
No, but I would think that if Arteta, who spent obviously a lot of time with him when he was an assistant at City,
that's a great point.
I think Arteta has something in his brain that thinks that actually works for me.
Yeah, that's a great point. He's seen him day-to-day training and exactly.
He knows what's going on there. Yep. So there's lots of this stuff going on. There's there's been some interesting moves. Newcastle, anyway, we got to take a break. We'll get into a lot of this stuff. But it is that time of year, boys and girls, where you get to sit and imagine and dream and wonderlust over your club's ability to sign.
Is that what you're doing with your team?
Man, I now feel like I've had the entire Manchester United experience of highs and lows.
I'm going to get my notes out for the next segment.
We were talking about reviewing the Ronaldinho documentary here a little later in the show. Mm-hmm. And the documentary opens in part with a flashback to the years when Barcelona pre-Ronaldinho were literally just points away from being relegated from La Liga one season. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people that listen to the show remember a time when Barcelona was in such bad shape that they almost got relegated from La Liga in this century.
Yep.
And
is this bringing it back home for you?
Well, it just makes you realize that even the biggest clubs in the world can have some really, really
famous
trash fire season. Yes.
Let's talk about United.
All right. We'll talk about United next here on the Kick Around. We will spin the Wheel of Allegiance here a little bit later in the show, and if you'd like to participate, 888-787-1310, or shoot us a note over on Twitter at The Kick Around. We'll get you lined up. We've got a couple of people that have already volunteered. All right, we're still talking transfer window because we are in the meat of that now, and all of the rumors as I said, wanderlust of dreaming that your club will do great things. And the one that's happened so far in the Premier League that I was very jealous of, that I thought my club, United, could desperately use, that I thought was at a fair price, was Bissouma, the Brighton holding midfielder that Brighton ended up selling to Tottenham. And the fact that he's getting to go play for Spurs, and Conte was maddening to me. And that's another good holding midfielder that really could have helped out my team that has now gone to another club. And I'm just not used to Manchester United losing out on player after player after player. And again, this is a byproduct of not making Champions League.
So, but that means that Christian Eriksen now might go to Man United because he, you know, there was a possibility he was going to go to Spurs. Yeah, no, he's not that position.
But like Frankie de Jong, that's a player who's very nice, and I'm not even sure Eriksen the right player, right? Yeah. But that's not the position of concern for me. Yeah. This team needs a true holding / defensive midfielder, and that is a need for a long time.
Can I just break some news to you and just give you the light? You have a position of need at many places.
I agree.
So my opinion, United now just needs to revamp their roster, period. I think this is a turnover year where your new gaffer needs to just go identify players that he is going to keep for 2 or 3 years and turn this into a good team. And it's not going to happen overnight. You have so many holes, United does.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of what is being run around today in the different, you know, articles and press, like we were talking earlier, The Athletic published a story just a few hours ago reporting that Jorge Mendes, Ronaldo's agent, met with Todd Boehly of Chelsea, and the idea of Ronaldo and Chelsea was batted around. The idea of Ronaldo and Bayern Munich has been discussed, apparently.
Yeah.
Not because Ronaldo's necessarily desperate to leave United. And he's been very open and public about how his heart is with the club and he's interested in working with Ten Hag. But he's also, the word that is also filtering out, which is from Ronaldo but not directly, is, but I'm also a little worried, like all the fans are, that all of our opponents and our main rivals are out making deals and we ain't done squat yet.
Yeah, right. And I don't know if part of the reason is because United now, which is shocking, because if you compare to where they were 10 to 15 years ago in terms of wealth. But part of the issue may be that United right now, it's not that they're cash strapped, but they have lost a significant amount of money. COVID hit them a little bit harder than other clubs. A, because they depend so much on ticket revenue and day of game revenue, not just ticket revenue, but day of game revenue. They've lost significant money by not making Champions League, right? Mm-hmm. And they have been so poorly managed in terms of the net spend over the last 10 years. I have the figure.
It's like $1 billion.
They've spent $1.5 billion on transfers, and they've gotten back $500 million. So $1 billion that they've lost, $350 million has walked away. And so that, I think that...
Do you know what the last player they sold and they made money off of was?
Like where there was actually a profit?
Yes.
I no, I can't.
Daniel James.
Oh my God.
True story.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, Pogba cost 100 mil.
Well, they lost him when he was a kid and then bought him back
100 mil.
Yes.
How much did they get for him?
Nothing.
Zero.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, 350 million has walked away because they hang on to players, Pogba, longer than they need to. And part of the problem is the mismanagement comes from, they have so much turnover at the coaching level. The management group that, because they have a committee that acquires players, is not in tune with what the coaches want. So they've been building for styles of play over these last 10 years that are not congruent with each other because they've been changing staff so much that they're all over the map with their roster.
I feel like this is
what's happened.
I feel like the Cleavers are discussing the dysfunction of my family.
And then one more thing.
Oh.
Is they've already, they're in this spot where they're losing so much money. They're publicly held, right? Owned by the Glazers, who take out money. They take out money to
the
pay
dividends,
debt.
Yes.
And then they have dividend payments. So they're continuing to get rich. The club.
Yeah, that unto itself is not unusual. I mean, that's these types
of. It is
of
for a soccer team.
Sure. But the way that the business was structured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You could go on about that all day.
Ten Hag is good. He's a good,
I guess,
but he needs the weapons, right? He needs the assets to develop how he wants to.
Well, I think as a United fan, over the last several years, we all got very frustrated in watching the window go all the way through and have them only scramble at the last second to make things happen and end up paying for players what they could have. Well, not even just overpaying. If they had just done the deal at the beginning of the window, they probably would have come out ahead. The Bruno Fernandes deal is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. The Harry Maguire situation is a great example. I mean, there's multiple players they ended up getting that they just kind of... because they thought they were negotiating their way to a better deal that they never ended up getting. It ended up costing them money and time.
Yeah, but I also think that after they acquire players, because there's no consistency with the coaching staff.
Oh, sure.
Players then just sit and they just renew them for the sake of renewing.
Yeah, I'm just strictly talking about the frustration as a fan of going through the window and watching Liverpool go out and negotiate mm-hmm. and execute or at least organize deals to be yeah. ready in the queue
yeah.
and watching Arsenal do their work and mm-hmm. Chelsea do yeah. their... Just the fact that you're hearing little to nothing other than this whole kind of back, like the thing that's going on with De Jong in, yeah. in Barcelona.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot of stupid back and forth over yeah. what should be for those two clubs a fractional amount of money.
Yeah.
Just to get the deal done.
Except I think United is hurting more than I think people realize.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
which
you're probably
is crazy.
Right. Well, hurting in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... that's a lot of that going on. I'm trying to think of the other thing that I wanted to talk about for you in Liverpool, Andy. I had totally forgotten about this deal that was done. Good Lord, was this done six months ago? Is it a year ago? Carvalho, the midfielder from uh-huh. Fulham.
Yeah.
That deal's is done now, and he's coming to Liverpool.
Yeah, it was done 6 months ago.
Are you excited about him at all as
yeah,
a Liverpool fan?
Yeah, I'm worried about the forward situation, but yeah, good player, young. Right? What is he, 19 years old?
I don't know how old he is, but he's a nice player. And the
Look,
fact that
I've
Liverpool...
come to trust these signings, you know, and I'm glad Klopp has a hand in these. And I just, again, it's because I'm a Liverpool supporter, I have to be careful that, you know, I don't come across as just gloating about my team. But I have to hand it to the club for just being really efficient and smart with the players that they've acquired. And you can't deny me that.
No. Now, I am interested, and maybe we should have had Tyler on, Tyler Curran, our Bundesliga correspondent, to talk about this. But I am interested in the Bayern Munich, Sadio Mane, and Lewandowski situation. Because clearly Lewandowski wants to leave. Mm-hmm. But if I'm reading all this correctly and inferring it, Bayern's like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
Right. Yeah, but they have Mane now, so you know, there's a little bit of leverage on their end, too, that... You know, if it's not terms that they want, then...
And this is how this is all tied together, because, if I'm understanding this correctly, mm-hmm. where one of the locations that Lewandowski may go is Barcelona. Yeah. Barcelona would like to have him, but to be able to make that deal happen, they need money because they're clearly desperate.
Yes, also.
In terms of finances yeah. and have been for a bit.
So for De Jong to go to United, that right. needs to happen also. Now, publicly, Bayern management has been... saying so many wonderful things about Mane, and he could win the Ballon d'Or three straight years, and we got the player at his peak, and he's going to help so much more. All those, I mean, those things may be true, and they may really feel that, but those are indirect messages to their other four that, you know, that they're dealing with now. Lewandowski. So.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I say he leaves.
Lewandowski. I do think he leaves. I think Bayern's going to have to bend and let him go.
Yeah.
But because they're Bayern, they're going to try to hold the line as long as they can.
Yeah.
And then Smart. Make it some way to look like that they actually were the high road in this.
Yeah.
The one trade or the one sale that's happened so far that's kind of happened under the radar that I think will be significant in the Premier League race this season. Is Nick Pope going from Burnley to Newcastle?
The goalkeeper.
Because I think Nick Pope is a really, really... I think he's probably yeah. a top five keeper in the Premier League. And that's a position that I think benefits Newcastle, especially with all this other stuff that they're probably likely to do over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, and, what's Newcastle going to do? I mean, have you heard any significant... Rumor
well, nothing active. Definitive, but yeah. like everything else, you see everything's
money.
In the mix.
Yeah.
Oh, they've definitely got the money.
And you know, they're the thing too, because the new Boley, the new owner of Chelsea, said, "Look, I'm buying into a reality now that it's not the top six anymore, the six big clubs. It's going to be seven with Newcastle." I mean, there's recognition all the way around that Newcastle is going to be now one of the powers.
Right? How could they not?
But I don't see them spending a ton yet. I guess.
Well, maybe they're being smart.
Yeah, okay.
And they're keeping close to the vest.
Maybe that's what United is doing too.
Yeah.
Maybe they're being smart and keeping close to the vest.
No, that's not what's going on. Not at all. It's so funny because we get into this period of time, and because we don't have international tournaments to distract us right now, because this typically you and I are talking about a World Cup, or we're talking about the Euros, mm-hmm. or Gold Cup, or Copa America, or something, right? We don't have that right now because the stupid World Cup is in November.
Yeah, thanks a lot,
stupid Qatar, and so now. Like this particular window, because that's the other thing that we haven't really even gotten into yet, which is the winter window. The January window is going to happen literally after the World Cup is over.
And some World Cup players are going to be part of that,
too. Well, you know, in some, yeah. So, and I guess in some ways that kind of happens naturally in a normal World Cup situation, because the World Cup starts in June and ends somewhere at the beginning of July, about the transfer window. Yeah. So that'll be, but the difference this year is it'll be happening in the middle of all of the big leagues around the world.
Is Nick Pope, who just signed with Newcastle, the goalkeeper, is he in the national team picture or no?
I think he's been called up. Now, he doesn't get, you know, obviously Southgate's got Jordan Pickford on the brain.
Pickford's the man. Okay.
I think Pope is...
He played at Burnley, so it didn't get a lot of attention.
Well, he also had a lot of work to do, and that's probably why I noticed him more than anybody else. And I'd seen him save their bacon more than once. And I just think that's a really nice pickup for Newcastle. And again, with all of the money at their disposal, one of the things to watch out with Newcastle is, are they smart about how they spend money? Yeah. Or do they just go out and start buying big names left and right?
The City way.
And to give them credit... To keep them from getting relegated, they made some really smart, not like massively big deals to bring in some guys that really salvaged their season. And not only salvaged it, they were like, they had one of the best records in the league
top three
after January. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was quite good. So Newcastle will be a new fun story, a new toy for us to play with in the Premier League season coming up. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Andy and I spent some time not together. But we did individually watch a really interesting documentary available on the FIFA Plus streaming platform. We're going to talk Ronaldinho, happiest man on earth, next here on The Kick Around. I am horny. Welcome back to The Kick Around. Andy, I'm hoping in the next week or two, we will officially be able to announce our plans for the World Cup in terms of what's going to happen with this show.
Yes?
Yes.
Say more? No?
Pretty excited about it.
That it? That's all you have for us right now?
I just think if you're looking for something to kind of help you digest what happened over the course of a day in the World Cup, every day during the World Cup, we might have something for you to listen to.
You know, we are the original World Cup Kick Around.
We are. Although I found out also that we probably shouldn't have called it that because of the licensing. Because World Cup, in the same way, is licensed by FIFA, that Super Bowl is, you know, you can't call things, you can't refer to shows as Super Bowl
We got away with it a couple World Cups.
Huh? Yeah, so we may have to rethink
it. Oh, the big soccer ball show.
Yeah, this big soccer
tournament.
Ball, that's right.
Kick around.
We'll do that. So Andy and I, on this show, over the course of 8 years, as we're now into our second 300th, this is show 301, by the way.
Maybe we're halfway through our second 200.
Oh, man, that hurts my math head. Don't do that to me. My brain is a scrambled egg. Thank you. Thank you, Peter. So one of the things that we do all the time, or we have over the years, is kind of review soccer content. Not the games, but like movies and documentaries and stuff. Okay. We've talked about the Leeds documentary, Take Me Home. We've talked about Sunderland Till I Die.
And Bielsa.
All the stuff that we love. We have yet to, we've wanted forever to get one of, the Alamo Draft House to do a showing of Victory with the P1s. I still want to do that.
You even have the jersey you could wear.
I could, yes. I have I have Stallone's goalkeeper jersey.
And don't forget the Maradona one, because that's...
That's the last one we did.
Yeah, that's the one most similar to what we were about to watch. Yes. Right, with Ronaldinho.
So several months ago, FIFA launched... unexpectedly, their own streaming service called FIFA Plus, and to kind of entice people to go in, is they announced that they were debuting a documentary about the great Ronaldinho. Mm-hmm. And as Andy mentioned earlier, In this current generation, it's all about Ronaldo and Messi. But just prior to that, there was a Brazilian player playing at Barcelona that was iconic in his own way, and his name was Ronaldinho. And he was very unusual because he had kind of the Jerry Curl hair, he had the giant teeth, and there was this permanent smile on his face as he just skill-checked his way down a field left and right.
Yeah, and before Barcelona, he played at PSG. He was at Grêmio before that in Brazil. And it was really the 2002 World Cup where people really started to notice who Ronaldinho was. He scored that famous goal against England, that free kick goal that... Are you one of the skeptics that say he wasn't really shooting, or are you a believer?
I'm a Ronaldinho believer, yeah, okay. And I think he intentionally chipped David Seaman from like 47 yeah. yards out.
Right,
yes.
Amazing goal. You can look it up on YouTube. And that's really what brought him to the world stage in earnest was that World Cup. And in fact, at the start of this documentary, one of the first things you see, and they open up with this World Cup, after they've been handed the trophy, you know, the players all go up to the big podium. They used to not do it on the field, but they used to go
into the stands.
Into the stands, yeah. With the FIFA president. And they give
Which,
it to
by the,
the
way, always looked like a beating, by the way.
Yeah, to go up there.
To climb like, the stairs.
Well, yeah, if you won, it doesn't matter. If you're the runner-up team, it's like, yeah, really? I
fair enough.
Like, climb 300 yards. It was a really interesting, and it only lasted like 5 seconds, this image. And I don't know if you've caught this, but the captain of the team, now I forget who the captain of the team was, of the Brazilian team, but he didn't have the trophy. Ronaldinho had taken the trophy from him and was leading like the team down the stairs. And the captain is like, no, I'm supposed to take that trophy, which is emblematic of who Ronaldinho was. He wanted to have fun. He wanted to hold the trophy and he loved the spotlight.
He did. Yeah. And that's why this documentary is called Ronaldinho, Happiest Man on Earth. And it was because when you watched Ronaldinho play, you couldn't help but smile because he always smiled when he played until like later in his career when things got a little haywire. And we'll talk about that in a second. He won FIFA Best Player of the Year twice. He won a World Cup with Brazil and the one that Andy just mentioned in beating Germany in 2002 and South Korea and Japan. He won Ballon d'Or. He won the Copa America. And he was just an amazing guy to watch because he was very lucky to have gotten into the game at the point that he did because he was very much a playground player. Mm-hmm. He was so skillful with the ball and could do so many tricks mm-hmm. and step overs and flicks and feints and this and that. But he was also one of those types of guys that just didn't play any defense. And that was part of the reason how he ended up at Barcelona. And they tell this story because the manager at PSG at the time started sitting him because he would sub him out of games because he wasn't playing any defense. And this was the beginning of modern mm-hmm. tactics and everybody has to press and everybody has yep. to defend. And Ronaldinho just wasn't going to do that.
Right.
But he comes to Barcelona and really that's where his career really, really begins to take
yeah,
off.
Yeah, he was given, and so we also have to give background on what state the Barcelona football club was in at the time. And they were, like you said in an earlier segment, 6 points or 3 points from relegation at that time when he was signed. And he basically, not only that, you know, La Liga is really Barcelona and Real Madrid. And at that time, Real Madrid had the Galacticos and they were in a different stratosphere compared to Barcelona. So the club needed saving, not just from getting relegated, but they needed an image, like a saving of their image and their brand. And that's what Ronaldinho provided. And he was given free rein with the club. And in fact, the first few training sessions and the first game, they could already see what he could do. And then something clicked with the coach and he finally told him, you know what? Just go out there and just have fun. Don't worry about anything else. Just go do your thing and we'll build everything around you. And everything changed at that moment for Barcelona.
They bought him for 33 million euros. PSG had bought him from Grêmio for just 5 million euros several years before. And his run at Barcelona, as you said, Andy, was interesting because in that first season, Barcelona really was struggling and it didn't go well at the beginning. And the documentary really shows this and the highlights, the video is so good to watch. It's so amazing. But the thing that they talk about that I had totally forgotten, because Barca so quickly becomes so dependent on him for success on the field that they realized they had a scheduling problem, because there was a game for Brazil coming up,
yep,
and they had a game against Sevilla on a Wednesday. And
was this just when they had signed him?
Yes. He had just started playing with the team,
yeah,
but they had already realized they needed him to win games,
yeah,
and that was why they bought him.
Yeah.
And this is, I had heard this story. You said you didn't even...
No, I did. I had forgotten or didn't know it.
Like, the shenanigans behind, yeah, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So Barcelona says, look, we have to have Ronaldinho so badly, we're going to the league and we're requesting the league to move our game against Sevilla to Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Liga says, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
You have to play the game on Wednesday.
Yeah, because he leaves Wednesday
to go
on this new FIFA international window. Right?
Right, and there's laws within FIFA about clubs having to release,
yeah,
players.
So they were going to have to release him.
They were going to have to release him. So Barcelona makes the decision and somehow talks the league into playing the game at 12:05 a.m. Wednesday morning.
Yeah, they didn't have to talk the league. They said
5 minutes after midnight.
The league rules say we can schedule games at the time that we designate.
And so Sevilla is forced to play the game.
Yeah.
Barcelona goes out and they bring all of these catering people in. They don't know how many people are going to show up.
Free food.
And 80,000 people fill the stadium at midnight to watch Sevilla Barcelona. Now Sevilla goes and scores early, but then Barcelona. And this is the goal that we played to open the tournament. Do you guys still have that, by the way, Jonathan?
The opening goal.
Do you have the opening goal that you played at the beginning of the show? So this is the goal that Ronaldinho scores late in the game at, you know, I guess at this point, it's almost 2 a.m.
Yeah. And the Barca president was like, whew, because, you know, there was a lot of pressure that they needed a result from that game to justify the 12:05 start.
All right. Here's the call.
Now, that goal was an upper man. He's dribbling.
He gets the ball in their half of the field. He dribbles into there, and he gets about, 40-something yards out?
Yeah, 30 to 40 yards, and hits an upper 90 to tie the game, and everybody's happy. And the thing, like, this documentary is great in so many ways. It's well-produced, well-made, well-directed. The story's told really well. Some brilliant moments with Ronaldinho in his hometown and his old house with his brother and reminiscing, and great sound bites from the man himself, Ronaldinho, which is also great. But really the highlight of this documentary, like you've mentioned, are the highlights, right? And it's like in real games, he's a Harlem Globetrotter.
Yes.
He's soccer Harlem Globetrotter moves in games that count with the other team trying to stop.
Yeah, there's a sequence of highlights that they show when he's in a really good form for Barcelona, and I had forgotten this play, where somebody crosses a ball to the top of the box. It's a square cross, chest high, and he's at the, like, in the D at the top of the box, and he sees a play and he needs to direct it, so he turns his back. And he purposely doesn't chest the ball. He lets the ball hit off his back and lays it perfectly in line for his striker to knock it in for the goal.
A literal back pass.
Yes. Not with the foot, but with his back.
Yeah.
And there's so much of that in this documentary. And then, you know, it kind of goes through the career and the ups and downs with Barcelona. And then it gets to the World Cup in South Africa in 2006.
Yeah, Germany. But before we get to that World Cup in 2006, it's also important to note that then Messi comes along, the, like, 16-year-old Messi or 18-year-old Messi. And he mentors Messi, and he's really, really good about mentoring Messi and building Messi's confidence up. And in fact, Messi's first game for Barca, suiting up for Barca, they showed highlights. Ronaldinho is looking for him and purposefully passing the ball to him in spots where Messi could score. He tried it once, Messi scored offside, then he tried it again, Messi got his first goal. And it's very touching how he handled Messi, and Messi talks about it as well in the documentary.
Yeah.
Now, that leads up to this 2006 yes,
and
World
thank
Cup.
You for yeah. bringing that up, because one of the other things about Ronaldinho was is he wasn't a ball hog. Like, he was as good at assisting as yeah. he was scoring.
Right.
And some of his greatest plays were passes.
Yes, right.
The Xavi pass yeah. And the Real Madrid yeah. return leg
yeah.
oh, where he chips it over chips and Xavi. Yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's
insane.
It's fantastic. Yeah. So they get to the World Cup in 2006, and it goes all sour for Brazil.
Yeah.
They're favored to at least make the final, and they end up playing Zidane and France in the quarterfinal.
In the quarters. Now, they start off really well. The first round as well, they're undefeated, and the momentum for them to just go all the way to the final and win it, their favorite status within the tournament has been growing through the first round. They get past the round of 16 game, and then they play Zidane, France, like you said, in the quarterfinal game, and Ronaldinho does not have a good game.
No,
he just does not have a good game.
And it all kind of goes south at that point. And Brazil ends up getting knocked out of the tournament way earlier, and the fans revolt, and they tear down his statue.
But I think it was very fitting that there was a little bit of symbolism. He had that last free kick.
Yeah, there's very
late.
And
he misses by 2 inches.
Right. And him and Roberto Carlos kind of argue over who's going to take it.
And he takes it in the 90th minute. He scores that he missed by 2 inches. They may win that game. They reach the final. He wins a World Cup. And his legacy is completely different. 2 inches.
Yeah.
And then it gets to part two of the documentary, which we won't spoil, because I think it's important that you kind of find out on your own, if you watch it, what really happens.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's called Ronaldinho, Happiest Man on Earth. And it's not the easiest thing to find. So we've tweeted it out on our Twitter account. At the kick around, but if you download the FIFA Plus app on any device, it's in there and it's free to watch. You don't have to sign up for anything. You can just watch it for free, and you can watch it for free on a browser. That's how I watched it. And it's great. It's like an hour and 42 minutes long. And if you're into the game, it's such a good period of time for the sport. You get to see the original Ronaldo. Not Cristiano Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah, right. Who was the man before Ronaldinho.
And there are a lot of people that think he's the better of the Ronaldos.
Yeah.
Like if you're young enough to have never enjoyed watching Ronaldinho and Ronaldo, you're totally missing out. You got to go absorb some of those two cats game, because it's really, really some of the best stuff. So it is one of these soccer pieces of content that I think you and I would give major thumbs up to.
Yeah, thumbs up, definitely.
You were worried, because you initially thought it was going to make you sad.
Yeah, and because I know he was a product of his own downfall. He was a party animal, right? And he liked, he enjoyed the after, the night.
Not in the Maradona kind of way.
Not in the, just in the partying, have fun way.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but he's okay with it, ultimately.
Yes.
Which is great.
They didn't get into his jail time in Paraguay.
No, in Paraguay for using fake passports to get in.
And then playing in the jail indoor league.
No, they made his brother come across as a true partner in all this.
Yeah.
I've read some things about his brother not being the best influence over Ronaldinho.
Yeah, there's some scenes in the documentary of them going back to their childhood home after his brother had made some money. His brother apparently was quite a player himself in the Brazilian leagues and had made some money, and they moved into a nice house in a nice neighborhood with a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go back to the house in the documentary, and the house is kind of dilapidated.
Yeah.
And
Ronaldinho's tragic moment of his life happened in that house. And
yeah.
You got to watch the documentary.
You got to go watch it. Ronaldinho, Happiest Man on Earth, totally worth your time. When we come back, we'll dial up the good Buzz Carrick as Austin versus Dallas is going down tonight, and we'll talk about it here on The Kick Around. Welcome back to The Kick Around. Here in just a little bit, we are with Gordon coming on last week and spinning the wheel and getting Everton as a Premier League team. I feel like a good use of our time is to spin the wheel for P1s. So if you want us to, if you just want to, you know, kind of cheat and go through and let the wheel choose for you instead of letting, you know, kind of having the nature take its course, we'll do that in the next segment. So 888-787-1310, 888-787-1310. You can line up and we will spin the wheel of allegiance for you. But first, On our ticket hotlines is our good friend we haven't spoken to in some time, editor and founder of ThirdDegree.net, and the knower of all things Football Club Dallas and Major League Soccer, the good Buzz Carrick. Come in, Buzz.
Hey, fellas. I feel like it's been a couple minutes since we've talked.
Where have you been?
All over the United States.
Yeah, literally traveling all over the United States. Buzz, we have a big matchup tonight as Dallas is traveling down to Austin. And things have been so, well, let me put it this way. Overall, the form of Dallas hasn't been great of late. They lost a home game last week. They shouldn't have lost against Vancouver. But this overall season to date has been so good, both on the field and off the field. I was seeing you retweet something from one of the members of one of the supporters groups announcing that they have actually sold out the entire away section down at Q2 Stadium tonight for Dallas. And that's a pretty big achievement.
Yeah, I believe it's the first time they've done that, or if it isn't, it's the first time in a long time. You know, obviously, a travel allotments in the Major League Soccer are not like they are in Europe, but, you know, it's still a pretty good chunk of people making a trip down there, whether it's group buses or whether it's just individuals. So, it's just another sign that things really are changing around here in this club. It's not just an on-the-field positive change. This organization is doing things all across the board, and we're seeing results in many, many areas. Are they flawless? No, but it's phenomenal moves in the right direction, and good things are happening here if you're a fan of soccer in this area.
And that improvement, we've also noticed that in the stands and the atmosphere at Toyota Stadium. Have you gotten, and I guess, feedback from players that it's actually are they feeling it, and is it improving the performance of the team as well? Does it go hand in hand?
It goes hand in hand. I think, you know, most of the improvement obviously is going to be down to the coaching and the players, but there's absolutely no question that players respond to fans, and every player that's come through here has mentioned how much better it is when the place is full to when it's empty. And for it to be full now is definitely making Dallas a tougher place to play. Now, Dallas has always been a tough place to play because of the weather, but the fan base and filling the place up and having, you know, having a noise coming from the stands makes such a huge difference for players.
So Dallas is headed down to Austin. The game's at 8 o'clock, and it's on TX21. And our good friend Mark and Steve, will have the call. I'm kind of interested in your perspective. That which team do you feel is more surprising this year? Austin's a second year team. They were kind of your stereotypical meh, expansion club last year, but currently they're in third and 2 points ahead of Dallas in fourth. Are you more surprised by Austin or how Dallas has turned out this year?
Austin. I felt like last year they were missing some core pieces, you know, and they were missing the depth and the breadth of the roster that you need to really compete at the top of Major League Soccer. Not just the DPs that you need, but and the talent at the top of the roster. You need a full roster to do it. And they made a lot of strides in that category. You know, Dallas has got homegrowns that have filled up their roster for a long time and given them all these pieces other teams don't have. And if you look at the Dallas defense last year, it really came down to, you know, the lack of health of Matt Hedges really turned that around really quickly. And when we knew Matt was coming back and healthy, we were pretty confident that was going to get straightened out. And when the new keeper was looking better and better, that also happened. So neither one of those were particularly surprising compared to the overall larger evolution for me of the Austin roster. You know, the things that club's doing on and off the field have, I think, directly driven to both Dallas and Houston responding in all phases of their organization.
Their next two games, Austin here on the road tonight, and then on the road again against the LAFC club out in L.A., who's in first
Gareth
place.
Bales.
Gareth Bales. And
LAFC.
LAFC.
Yeah.
I don't think those guys will be on the
demonstrations,
but no, they won't be playing for them. But is this the biggest test for the team and for Nico so far this season?
No. This, you know, Dallas has played really well against Austin over the course of last season and really dominated them. Well, I think Austin is definitely better. There are areas that they are not tip-top either. Dallas's problem right now is figuring out what's wrong with them. That's their current. That's the challenge of this game, is to figure out what's gone wrong in terms of their efficiency and their defense.
I wasn't. Not specifically just this game, but this two game road trip against two teams ahead of them in the standings, is, and with these issues that you talk about, is this kind of the most challenging time that they'll so far this season?
You know, of this season so far, this is definitely the most challenging moment. Now, in the Western Conference, the entire schedule is very, very difficult. We were talking about this on our podcast the other day about how if you look ahead, it looks horrible. But that's just because all these teams that are in the West are continuing to get better, and you've seen all these pieces being added. Now, when you combine an arrival on the road and then probably arguably maybe one of the best teams in the league on the road who's adding pieces right and left, when you combine that with your own team having lost three out of four and having the offense start to sputter and so many injuries at center back right now, they can barely field two healthy center backs. Yeah, this is going to be one of the most difficult back-to-back games you're going to see.
Yeah, so Austin picked up the Argentinian striker Drusy, who has had quite a debut season for them. And I'm assuming, do you know what the status of Hedges and Tafari and Martinez are? So the three kind of healthy center backs that we know of for Dallas.
We're told Martinez is fine, but he did leave the last game, you know, with something. That kind of thing happens over this part of the season. Hedges is cleared to play, and he did travel. Tafari is technically questionable, but he did travel, which is usually a pretty good sign. So you do have, you should have Hedges and Martinez with potentially, probably Tafari on the bench, but none of those guys are in 100% tip-top form. I mean, if Hedges missed the game and Martinez had to leave and Tafari is questionable, there's a lot of question marks in that group. And your other two center backs are both out completely, one with a broken rib, Bartlett, and Quiñones has a sprained ankle, I believe it is. So, you know, your entire five center back core is either questionable or banged up or old. So it's definitely a problem right now trying to field healthy center backs.
Yeah. Austin and Dallas tonight on Channel 21. Mark and Steve will have the call. It is the first time the two teams have seen each other this season, and there's been a growing kind of rivalry between the fan groups and the supporters groups. Austin has really worked to refine their smack game in many ways, and so it will be interesting.
Smack game,
well, you know, just kind of running
the old SG.
The old SG. Buzz, you have a sense of how you think it'll go down tonight?
Well, Dallas has had a lot of luck playing against this team in terms of goal scoring, because Austin likes to play. They want to bring it out of the back and they want to try and get forward. And Dallas, generally speaking, is a decent pressing team and makes you turn it over, and it can exploit that. If you want to play with Dallas and open the game up, they're good at that. That's their best thing. So I think you're probably looking at a pretty offensive game. I don't think this one's going to be 0-0. This one's going to be 2-3, you know, for both teams. And it'll probably be a very close game, and which team is going to win is hard to really say, other than I'm expecting a large offensive explosion, if you will.
Like 17-17?
No.
8-7?
No. No, but you know, the last game last year, wasn't that not the 6-4 game? I mean, I don't think it'll be that bad, but I think you're looking
Pepe
at...
Pepe scored like 5 goals there once or something, right? 4 goals?
Right.
We were there.
Jesus has scored like 6 or 7 goals in that stadium by himself like this year. So it's like, you know, you're looking at two teams that are pretty good in the offense and both want to open it up. So, you know, I think you might be looking at a 3-2 kind of ball game.
Okay, well, there's Buzz Carrick. If you are into currently or want to get into anything about Football Club Dallas, buzzsthirddegree.net is the definitive place to learn all of that stuff. Both his written work and his podcast and so forth is really top-notch content. Buzz, thank you, man, and have fun watching the game tonight, my friend.
Thanks. You're welcome. Anytime.
All right, Buzz Carrick from thirddegree.net. Go subscribe and be a patron of his. All right, P1s, here's your chance. We get asked all the time, hey, I really don't know what club I want to follow. I don't know how to do this, but I'm interested. Here's your chance to do it in real time. We're going to spin the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance for P1s next here on the Kick Around. I'm sitting here reading more about the news that came out this morning about Gareth Bale signing a deal to go play in L.A. And I can't figure out if that's genius or not.
The leading song?
No. Did you listen to anything I just said?
Did you? Do you not get the genius?
Yes, I get it.
Yes, I think it is. It is a good move. Yes.
I don't know, man.
I mean, are you talking on his side?
Well, no. I mean,
You talking on the LAFC side?
Yeah, because clearly it's just like a journeyman thing where he just needs time leading up to a World Cup. So are you going to get the best of Gareth Bale?
Oh, on the club side, yeah, I'm skeptical. On his side, it's great. What a great league to get minutes and
a great
have a
city
lot
to play golf and he gets to live the LA life.
No pressure and all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know. MLS is in that weird place that I think can only be best described as the awkward teenager phase, where they, because of where they are financially, they still need to depend on big-name, semi-retiring guys to sell tickets and draw attention.
But LAFC doesn't need that. They don't. They do really well at the box office. They have a good team. They already have stars. Vela is like one of the biggest in MLS, right?
Yeah.
That's their fan base. Chiellini, I think, comes in for the locker room, for experience, for just to have a guy like him, right? Yeah. He's known for that. The Bale one, I don't quite understand, honestly. But maybe they got him super cheap.
Oh, I'm sure they did. He's not, yeah, he doesn't fall into that weird. Yeah. This is both him, Chiellini, and Bale are exactly prime examples of why Major League Soccer is its own worst enemy, because of all of the weird financial machinations and loopholes and rules that they have in place to allow these types of things to happen,
which keep us guessing,
which keeps everybody guessing and everybody in the dark, and nobody really understands it. I mean, it makes the NBA salary structure look super easy, like Monopoly money. This is all like weirdo Illuminati stuff. It's very strange. All right, so last week we had one of the highlights in the show's history. The great Gordo came on the show and he spun the supreme wheel of allegiance for his very own Premier League club,
Everton.
He ended up getting Everton,
which was brilliant because Paul McCartney, he's a big Beatles fan. Paul McCartney's a closet Everton.
Did you hear? Perfect. Did you hear him and Junior beat up on George Tuesday morning when he talked about it?
What happened?
Well, he talked about the fact that he came on the show and he spun the wheel and he was a little freaked out that this was like a lifelong commitment that he was agreeing to. Yeah. And then he and Junior began to throw around their supporter status and goofing on George for being a football hater. And it was pretty funny.
So Gordon now he's on our side.
Oh yes, he's very, very much a footballista.
Okay,
and he's very much looking forward to being an Everton Toffee fan. So I thought, since with the World Cup not happening and the league's off, now's a really good time to allow the P1s to participate in this. And so we put out the word, and we have a good P1 on the line now. His name is Mark. Mark has decided that he wants the wheel to help him find a club. So, Mark, welcome to the Kick Around, sir. Oh, no. That's not the sound we wanted. Can you hang that up? There we go. I guess we'll try to get Mark back. EA, are we ready to, ready for the production piece of this while Jonathan gets Mark back on the phone?
Yes, one second.
Okay.
Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
There's the introduction. So what we'll do now, work with me on the volumes. What we'll do is we'll spin for Eugene, who tweeted at us and said he needed a club. He didn't say he wanted to be in Serie A.
Serie A, okay.
Yes, hold so on. We Let will me, spin the wheel hold on, for hold on. Serie A okay. for Eugene. Here's the wheel. Spin it, Andy. Spin it, EA. There we go. Oh, no. That's a weak spin. That's the wussiest spin ever. All right, Eugene, you get Torino in Serie A is your club. Now, I think you're going to be interested to find out that Torino is a club that is not a favorite to win Serie A this year, but they are now your forever Italian club. And Eugene was requesting a club in a particular region of Italy. I have no idea if Torino falls into that region. But
well, they're exactly mid-table, like exactly in the middle of the table. That's how they finished this last year, Torino did.
Okay. Well, congratulations, Eugene. You now are an official Torino fan as deemed by the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance. All right, now back onto the hotline. We'll go to Mark. Mark, welcome to the Kick Around. Holy crap in a sock. Mark, welcome to the kick around.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you are.
Hello.
Sir. Hello. How are you, sir?
How are you? I'm good.
All right, Mark, do you have a particular league that you're looking to find a club in?
The EPL, please, sir.
Okay, so he wants to go to the Premier League. Mark, you understand the rules around the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance, sir, do you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you are going to pledge your undying love for this club that the wheel gives you forever and ever, no backsies.
Yes, and I might even get a tattoo.
Whoa!
Whoa, okay.
All
I'm
right.
Ready.
Do you have? Are you hoping for a particular club by chance?
No, I just need some guidance from you boys.
All right. Well. EA, it is now time to spin the
Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
Spin that bitch, Andy!
Heavy.
Round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Oh. Interesting. Mark, you now are friends with Sean Bass. You are a fan of Aston Villa, the Villains.
Nice.
Good for you. That's a good one, actually. Mark, do you know anything about Aston Villa?
No, sir, but I do follow Sean on Twitter, and I met him a couple of times, and I will hit him up to see what all I need to know.
All right. You could probably get yourself a Stevie Gerrard. Because he's the manager. You could be.
Okay.
So you could be a Philippe Coutinho fan.
Coutinho is your best player, so you got to remember that name.
Okay.
Okay, you seem super interested. All right. All right.
No, I'm trying to write it down. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hit Sean Bass up.
Tell him you're a Villa fan. The wheel gave it to you.
All right, boys. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Thanks for spinning the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
That was a good result for that one.
That was a good.
Right?
That was a wonderful result. Yeah. So here in the studio, we actually have somebody that has also volunteered to do this themselves, and that would be the good Jacob Dedamore, who has said that he has wanted to have the wheel spun for him for some time. Now, Jacob, Deddy, as they call you in these parts, do you have a particular league you're looking to find a club for, sir?
I think for me, it will be easiest to go with the Premier League, especially considering what everyone at this station follows.
Okay. All right. Well, we will do that. Now, Dedamore, you understand the rules of this. This is a,
yes, sir.
This is a binding agreement,
yes, sir.
Forever and ever until you die.
Mm-hmm.
No backsies,
mm-hmm.
No outsies, no matter who you get. And you agree to all of that. So.
I am 100% on board.
All right. For Jacob Dedamore, it is time to spin the
Supreme Wheel.
Andy, please spin the wheel. Ah, the soccer gods are determining your fate.
Sounds like a solid spin.
Very good spin. The spin is done. Well, now, let me say something here very quick before I reveal this, Jacob.
Okay.
The gods only give you as much as they think you are capable of handling.
I see. All right.
So you, sir, have been gifted Tottenham Hotspur.
Hey, all right.
Champions League destined.
Yes.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Top four team.
Harry Kane.
Three spots ahead of Man United.
Yeah, very solid season last year.
Conte right. is your manager.
Okay.
Might be a dark horse to win the league. Not bad.
Is there anyone else at the station that is tied to them?
Well,
that you know of?
Lars, who comes on the show from London, and hopefully we'll be back next week.
Corby at one point pledged allegiance to them.
You never know.
He comes in and out of
that. Ooh, Corby. I don't. Yeah. Is there? There's a Spurs follower at the station that I'm totally blanking out on. Who is
it?
I think it was
Corby.
Oh, it was. Was it Tim? No, wasn't Tim.
No,
it was
Tim
somebody
was Everton.
Else.
All our producers.
It'll
are
come
Everton.
Up. But you now are officially the ticket Spurs fan, so congratulations to
all
you,
right.
sir.
All right, it's the only Spurs that I will ever follow.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Well, congratulations, Dedamore. Now, Andy, you brought up and made a very good point that I have never officially tied myself to a team in La Liga, which is a new addition to the page.
Yes.
And by the way, if you want to do this on your own without us watching over your shoulder, you can just go to our website, thekickaround.com, click on Find a Club, and all of these wheels are on that page. along with the real way you should be doing this, which is just an explanation of how clubs find you. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to cut to the chase and let somebody do it for you at random, the gods that being that, I will do this now for La Liga.
Because no club has found you from
no
La Liga.
No club,
right?
In La Liga have found me. Okay. And I'm not really into the whole Barcelona, Real Madrid thing, unless it's I'm told that. So,
all right. Do you pledge allegiance to this team in La Liga?
Yes, here? I do. I will.
And with everything that entails.
Everything that entails.
Maybe a tattoo one day. All right.
Probably
at least
not a tattoo.
At least a jersey.
Maybe, yeah, probably a jersey.
Okay.
And I'll learn to sing a song here or two or something like that.
All right. Great.
And in some tapas. All right, let's spin the
Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
Spin it. The La Liga Wheel debut here on the Kick Around. What club could I possibly get, Andy?
What? No!
What? The wheel only gives you what you can handle, Andy.
Well, handle this.
Barcelona!
Are you kidding me?
That's because I consumed all of that Ronaldinho content earlier today.
We could have gotten like Elche or Cadiz or Getafe or Girona.
I don't think you quite understand my mental state, Andy.
I should say them like they're pronounced. Getafe, Cadiz, Celta Vigo.
Barcelona is really about all I can handle in my
Real
life.
Real Betis.
Yeah.
I do have one thing to say. Your producer, Mr. Jonathan Dodd, doesn't have a team.
Oh.
At all?
No.
All right. Okay. Can we save that for next week since we are running late today?
We
should save that. Jonathan, I didn't know you were interested in doing this. Do you have a club in particular you're interested in getting to?
I like FC Dallas.
Okay. That's good. You can watch the game tonight. Do you have a league you're looking for somebody?
I'll check out EPL.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, very good. Well, we'll do that for you next week here on the show.
Week-long tease for a certain spin.
Man, I hope I can find a Barcelona jersey somewhere.
I can't believe you got this.
Maybe over to Soccer Night.
You know what? They're in deep trouble. Barca. They owe so much money. In some way, they're so similar to United.
You think I can make this new fandom help out United get Frankie Jeong deal
just
done?
Yeah, work something out internally.
Yeah, I can ring up a few numbers, make a few calls.
Barca. I'll just have to root for Real Madrid.
Yeah, we'll spin more wheel over the course of the summer, help people find clubs. That's fun to do. Again, you can find it at at our website, thekickaround.com. All right, thank you, Deddy, for being a Spurs fan now and doing all those good tickers. Thank you, Jonathan, for producing the show very well in EA. Thanks for running the board. And thank you, P1s. We love and adore you. Go Dallas. Get stuck in and win your 50s. Who wants to fight somebody who's naked?
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Park, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM, Flower Mound. A Cumulus Media Station.